talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday, first Friday of the year 2020. Friday, January the 3rd, 2020, 11 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. Charlie Evers and myself along for the ride today. Charlie, it's the first Friday of 2020. The holidays are officially kaputsville, and away we go.
Yes, and by the way, when the ball dropped, what's her name that you've been wondering about?
Oh, Barbara Walters?
Yeah, she and the other guy come on and said that.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they did.
I thought, boy, is Scott listening to this?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they, well, because for so many years, you Downs and Barbara Walters said, this is 2020, so who better?
Yeah.
What, Charlie? Oh, no. You have... Oh, boy, this is why we're not on television.
My earphones caught in my glasses.
There's too many things going on.
Yes. Oh, my.
Oh, it's the start of a new century. It's the start. No, yeah. It's not.
But
it's decade, new decade.
That's pretty good because if you got 2020 vision, that's pretty good.
But I still don't know what you call this. You wouldn't call it the 20s because there are still people from the 20s still alive.
You're right. President Harding, he's not alive yet.
No, he's not alive, but
you'd have to be 100 years old.
Well, Kensel Clutter's alive.
Kensel Clutter's 100, yeah.
He was born in 1919.
Yeah, wow.
So he knows about the 1920s.
I guess so. My, what a guy.
Now, he's got a big birthday coming up, doesn't he?
He sure does.
Birthday party?
Yes, it's tomorrow. Is tomorrow Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah, up in Kirkpatrick.
Now, he's still doing pretty well, isn't he?
He sure seems like it, yes.
Getting around, moving?
Yes, right. He's done so much for the community in history and fought in World War II and was shot down and took a year to recover and everything else, gave most of his life to, you know, things like, you know, maps, history, you name it, aviation stories. I would, you know, personally, it probably won't happen, but I would like to see at Mary Municipal Airport, Clutter Field. I think that would be a great tribute.
To be named for him.
Yeah.
Why don't we name more things after people?
Yeah, really. They do a lot of places in United States.
They do. We like to name stuff after people in different areas, but not in Marion. Do we have anything named for anybody?
Yes.
Aside from buildings.
On the fairgrounds.
Oh, wait, right.
Yeah.
But I mean, aside from buildings, do we have like streets or...
Well, who were the streets named after?
I don't know.
Now, Feast Avenue, that Fred Malone talks about Mr. Feast. He was on the Sultana that blew up. It was Civil War.
Isn't it Fees?
Fees? I don't know.
Fees or Fees?
Fees.
Fees.
F-E-I-S.
Okay.
And he was on the Sultana, and most of the men were killed when the ship blew up in the Ohio River, I suppose it was. And he survived, came back to Marion, made a lot of money, and has Feast Avenue out, and then a building downtown called Feast.
Do we have a Strelitz named after the Julia and Malcolm Strelitz?
Well, I'm trying to think. I can't think of any just offhand.
They led a rough life going down on the Andrea Doria.
That's right. And I remember Julia calling Madge and then telling her, Yeah, we're shipwrecked.
Now, where did she get a phone? Did they get off the Andrea Doria, then call in, or how did that work?
Apparently, yes.
Now, tell people, because people have no idea what the Andrea Doria was.
Well, what was the name of the other ship? The Andrea Doria, were they on that, or were they on the other ship? But they collided. And I don't know how many people were killed, but they survived and were able to talk about it. Wow.
Well, it's nice they called in.
Yes. I can remember the day just as clear as I can yesterday, because I can't remember what happened last hour.
So when they called in, Julia Strelitz, what did she have to say?
I can't remember what all she said, but she and Madge went, you know, talked quite a while.
Now, when she called in, did she call in to you and say, put me on the air?
She just called into the radio station, and they switched over to Madge. Yeah.
It'll be nice one day if somebody gets shipwrecked and they can call us.
Yeah. Don't call until you were down three times.
Yeah, that's right. If the boat's got a hole in it, then you can call us. Well, it's just like this whole thing. What is it, next year that the... Is it next year? I think so. That the Titanic, it's the 100th anniversary of the sailing and sinking of the Titanic.
Didn't it go down 1915?
I thought it was 1911.
No, I think it's 15.
Does anybody, is it 1911?
Somebody can look it up.
Yeah, 1911 or 1915 that the Titanic went down.
I think it was April 1915.
I think it's 1911, but we'll have to see.
No, it was 15, I'm sure. But
Now why do you think it's 15? I think it's 11. Because
I've heard that commented. There was a guy that ran a clothing store in Mansfield, one of the survivors.
Now, did he call Madge on the air, too?
No,
when the Titanic was going down?
He couldn't get her phone number.
He said, boy, we just hit a glacier and snow cones are being made everywhere.
We heard this big bump, and oh, my. That was terrible, 1,200 people. But I think the Sultana lost that many men from the Civil War when it sunk.
But what I'm saying is next year on the 100, I think it's next year, I believe it's 1911 that the Titanic sunk and sailed.
Yeah, well, if it was, it wouldn't.
Well, in any of next year, I believe they're going to make a new Titanic, and
they are. It's under construction,
right? And they're going to take the same path on the same days.
Okay, here's our
answer. Here we go. Hopefully this is the answer. Holy mackerel. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller?
Would you believe that it's 1912?
1912. We were both wrong. So the
it
new
was only on the water 4 days when it sunk.
Just four days.
Wow.
Yep.
1912. Well, thank you.
1912. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's good. I'm
1912.
Glad he called.
So 2022, they'll be sailing another Titanic on the same path on the same days. That is asking for...
It's the same iceberg.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That is asking for trouble. What is wrong with these people?
Well, this ship, I think, could survive. I think.
That's what they said about the Titanic.
They said it was
unsinkable.
Yeah.
And then it sunk.
1912, huh?
Why did they call her the unsinkable Molly Brown? Because she didn't drown?
I never heard her called that.
No, I think she's called that.
She was?
Did they just call her Molly Brown?
Gosh, I don't know. All I remember is the Carpathian came to take off some of the people from the ship as it was going down and picked up some from the lifeboat. Now, I've heard it pronounced Carpathian and Carpathian.
But do you remember what happened to Molly Brown? Was she an actress? Was she a
I don't know.
Politician?
I
what was
I
she?
Never heard of her.
Does anybody know who the unsinkable Molly Brown was? Because I'm pretty sure that was her nickname, unsinkable, but I don't know why.
Wow.
Let us know. 740-383-9944. But let's get into the deep thing here, because here's what I really wanted to talk about. The bicentennial of Marion coming up this year.
Which, actually, they're combining Harding's museum opening with the celebration of the bicentennial, which really, for what, Marion City is 1822.
Right, but somebody called in the other day because if you look on the internet, well, maybe this is the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yes.
We can only hope. Go ahead, caller.
Talking about the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Yes.
I think she was on a couple ships that sunk, and then she just never went down.
Oh, so she would just survived many of those ship sinkings.
I think that's what it was. She survived a few ships being sunk, and then she was a survivor.
Wow.
Now, they did call her the unsinkable, didn't they?
Yeah.
Now, do you know what she was? What was her position? Why was she a famous person?
I'm not sure. I really don't. I just remember her surviving multiple ship wrecks.
That's interesting.
Would you buy a ticket knowing she was on that ship?
No, maybe not. maybe I'm not unsinkable, but she is.
Yeah, right.
Well, hey, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Well, see, there you go. That's what's she was the unsinkable Molly Brown.
Mm. The only other famous lady I can think of is Phoebe Snow. Do you remember Phoebe Snow?
I don't remember Phoebe Snow.
She was the one that represented the Erie Lackawanna, or just the plain Erie. The fact that they burned hard coal, and if you wore a white dress, you wouldn't get it all black because of the hard coal that they burned. And so Phoebe Snow was that lady in a white dress, and you saw her picture on boxcars all over the place.
Isn't that ironic that her last name was Snow?
Yes, you're right. And Phoebe was President Harding's mother's first name, I think.
I don't remember. I mean, it could have been. So, back to this bicentennial.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other day when I was asking about this, because on the internet it says the bicentennial, Marion was founded in 1822. But when I asked about that, because this paper in front of me says 1820 to 2020, but yet when I asked about that the other day, somebody said, well, the city was founded in 1822 and the county in 1820, but you said that's not right.
No, I don't think. Now, in 1922, Harding came back to Marion one time with General Pershing. Pershing gave a speech at the Marion County Fairgrounds, 1822.
Was that because of the centennial?
Well, was it the county or a city? Probably the county.
Well, I don't understand why there's a confusion on when our centennial is, because
it's just a convenience.
But is that what it is, or is it true?
Can you imagine having to celebrate all over again 2 years down the line?
Well, I understand not wanting to celebrate again, but what I don't understand is, so this really is not the 200th anniversary of the founding of Marion.
No, it's just a convenience. The Harding Museum will open this year, sometime this year.
But see, that's going to confuse people who think that they're going to think Marion was founded in 1820.
Well, what if they do think that?
Well, it's wrong.
It won't bother a thing.
No, but when they're playing Trivial Pursuit and somebody says, when was Marion, Ohio founded? Yeah. Is it 18? Doesn't the Ohio legislature have this on record?
Oh, yeah.
So why is it such a hullabaloo, as they say?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't a hullabaloo until you...
No, I'm not making a hullabaloo out of it. Go ahead, caller.
I still got a commemorative coin from 1972 when we had the sesquicentennial.
That's right.
But was that for the city or the county?
It was 150 years for the city of Marion.
Okay, was the city and the county founded the same year?
I don't think so.
No, they weren't.
So this could be the centennial for the county, but bicentennial.
County, for sure, yeah. Right.
Okay, so it is a city-county thing.
Yeah. See, the Marion County was founded, and then the city, of course, there was all kind of townships and villages and all that.
Did we have a sesquicentennial for the county in 1972? Or 1970, I guess it would have been.
No, I think they just combined them both in 72.
That's interesting. It's fascinating because I would think the bicentennial would just be the founding of the county, which would apparently have been in 1820. I don't know. Thank you. It's very confusing, Charlie. So Eber Baker.
I haven't wasted much time thinking about it.
Well, I don't waste only when I'm here staring at the papers.
Right.
But what I don't understand about this is why is the city and the county separated as far like Franklin County. Now Franklin County, they don't celebrate the bicentennial of Franklin County and then the city of Columbus. They don't celebrate those separately. So why are we celebrating the city and the county founding separately?
I don't know. Maybe you ought to call John Kasich.
Why?
I don't know.
He's not the governor.
He's opinionated.
Well, Mike DeWine might know.
I don't know. It just comes about. It's why have two different dates for the centennial? Just one, 2020, and that's it.
We like to, but is it right?
Well, it doesn't matter really, because they're going to open up the Harding Museum this year.
Well, I understand, but isn't it ironic then? Don't you think there's a great irony in the fact if it is 1820, that 100 years to the year that the county was founded, we elected our only president from here 100 years to the year. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But by the way, Norman Thomas.
Socialist.
Yeah, the first ice cream socialist. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean?
That's been running for 2 years, Charlie. You
I know.
Bring it up now.
I read it. But what does it mean?
Well, those little things that we did were because, you know, here's how that all started. Because it used to be just promos for shows.
Yeah.
And you said we were playing the same promos all
over
the time.
And over.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. So I said, well, let's make up some new stuff. So we came up with these little, 30-second
yeah, right.
goofy things.
Yeah.
And I thought, we'll base them in Marian history. So.
Where does the ice cream come in?
Because there are things called ice cream socials, right?
Oh, now I get you.
So it's a joke.
A social.
It's a play on the words.
Oh, okay. Now that settles my mind.
Right. So you know because do people still have ice cream socials?
I don't know. I never heard of any. A lot of people back in another era used to have ice cream and soda pop and. Now they have bourbon and
bourbon. They skipped all that. So the bit goes, we always hear about Bernie. You say we always hear about Bernie Sanders being the first socialist, but Norman Thomas was the first socialist. And then I say, yeah, I knew about that. And you say, but did you also know he sold ice cream? And I say, no. And you say he was the first ice cream socialist.
I see. You dissatisfied my mind.
All right. Now, when you first heard that, what did you think?
I don't know what I thought. I kept, what am I talking about?
2 years later.
Now we've probably, a lot of people out there, we've satisfied.
You know, it's funny. When we first started running those, you say something about fruitcake in one of those, like mashed potatoes and fruitcake and something like that.
Yeah.
And it's a joke. But I ran into somebody one time and they said, I can't believe he eats mashed potatoes and fruitcake.
Hey, how'd you like that fruitcake I gave you?
Well, it was better. It was better than those awful Claxtons.
Full of pecans and maraschino cherries.
So you're done with the Claxtons.
Oh, yeah.
You've moved on.
Oh, this is great.
What's the name of them?
It's made...
The Kaufmans brought them in.
Yeah, it's from a bakery in Texas on a certain street, and it's been made for over 100 years.
Well, I see, this contends what I've always said, that those awful Claxtons are no good, but this was not bad.
No, this is great.
It tasted like cake.
Yeah.
Thank God. The other ones don't. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I didn't see our lights at the fairgrounds this year.
No, neither did I.
And yet I'm the one that gave them that name, Christmas by Candlelight, because originally I proposed these 1 gallon plastic jugs with a candle in them. And after 1 year or so, they thought, no, we've got to have electric. So they punched holes in all those and put in electric lights.
Well, who would blow out the candles every night and then relight them every day?
Maybe we just let them burn. I don't know.
Oh, that's anyhow, that's asking for trouble.
It was good, though. Christmas by candlelight. Just remember, I'm the one that made that title.
And Heritage Hall.
Yeah. Heritage Hall.
You came up with Heritage Hall,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Well, see, but this is what I don't understand about the Quarry Street Cemetery. Now, I've had this on my mind, too. There's a lot of confusion here in Marion.
Yeah, there's a lot of rock stumbling around in your brain.
Well, there is, because why can't we ever have anything just be simple, cut and dry? why does it always have to be swirled with confusion?
Well, that's a good question.
Because so what we're saying is that Marion was not actually founded in 1820, that it was actually...
The county was.
So the county was.
But wait a second. Was it... You'd think the county would be formed first and then the city after that.
Right, which would be, right, 1820 and then 1822. But what I don't understand, when President Harding was elected in 1920, we would have been celebrating our centennial, were we?
No, it was 1822.
No, 1920, I'm saying.
Well, 1922 is when we had the celebration. I've got a book on our...
Of the centennial.
Yeah, I've got a book on it.
So why did we
souvenir.
Not... Why didn't we celebrate the centennial in 1920 if we were founded in 1820?
I don't know.
See? It's very confusing. I just don't understand.
Yeah, General Pershing came to Marion in 1922 and spoke.
Well, were they celebrating the city or the county?
I think the county.
Oh, so then we weren't founded in 1820. Doesn't the legislature have this on record? Where is that at? Where's the records kept?
I don't know. Maybe it might be on Facebook.
Well, somebody sent me a document on the internet that said we were founded in 1822. But then Randy Wendland, who sent me this, says 1820. See, this is why I don't I just don't get it. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. Why would you celebrate the city and the county separately? What's the point of that?
Well, yeah, there is no... It just makes confusion. And so they're celebrating both of them as one and avoiding...
This is why we don't teach Ohio history anymore, because we don't even know what it is.
Yeah, right. We
don't even know when we were found.
Yeah. Yeah, you made a good point.
Right. I don't know why. And then the whole thing with Eber Baker. You know, you try to research that a little bit.
Well, I can tell you who would know, and he's dead, Dick West. He's the one that put up the new monument, I mean, with a more complete...
For Eber Baker.
It was just a little tiny stone.
But did they ever exhume Eber's body and move him from Quarry Street to the Marion Cemetery?
But he would have been moved probably in about 1857, 58.
Well, see, here's the question then, because the Marion Cemetery doesn't have any record of that. Now, they have the record of the monument being put up, but they don't have the record of any body being moved. So the question is, was it ever done, and wouldn't it have been hard because of the cholera scare and the fact that Eber Baker was probably not embalmed because he died so early, and he was probably in a wooden casket, so he probably was... How would they even know where he is?
He might not have the cholera.
No, but weren't there people buried over in Quarry Street who had the cholera?
Yes, there were, but, you know, once they're dead, things kind of die out.
But we were all paranoid of that.
Oh, some people were, yes.
So I don't think they would have allowed digging in that cemetery.
I think some are still paranoid.
Well, it's in people's backyard over there on Quarry Street. They better not be. And I don't understand that either. When were those houses built? Because wouldn't they be built on land that was once infected with the plague?
Yeah, but I think the plague or the cholera would have faded away. And you ask a doctor. I asked one once about that, and he said, no time at all, and it's gone.
Well, I understand that, but how did they build houses on land that once was a cemetery?
I don't know. You'd have to... I'm sure the city has records somewhere.
You know, Eber Baker's probably buried under somebody's plumbing.
Could be. You never know.
Do you believe that he was really exhumed and transported over to the Marion Cemetery?
I have no thoughts on that.
Do you know how much money and cost and effort it takes to exhume a body?
Oh, yes. I helped do that once.
Oh, and why would we do this with him?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. But the guy that bought the new stone for him with more detail on it would have known, I'm sure.
So if I want to put flowers on the founder of Marion's grave, do I go to the Marion Cemetery or do I go to the Quarry Street Cemetery?
Well, if you went to Quarry, where would you put the flowers?
Why, just throw them in that gated area.
Oh, yeah. Because there's no tombstone for Eber Baker over there.
But there was.
Was there?
It wasn't that where he was originally buried?
Yeah.
Because there was no Marion Cemetery when he died. When did Eber Baker die? Does anybody know that? Look,
well, yeah,
Google that.
It's listed on...
Google.
You can Google it.
Google it.
Yeah.
When did Eber Baker die? Let us know. 740-383-9944. And why does Eber Baker get all the credit when there was another guy who helped him?
Holmes.
Yeah. Well, what happened to him?
Alexander Holmes. He was more of a surveyor, and I think Baker and Holmes worked together as kind of like real estate guys, selling lots.
I thought Eber was into bartending.
Well, he was. He built a hotel there at the corner of where the Marion Hotel used to be. It was called the Comfort Inn or something like that, where he sold. He was, of course, arrested once for selling beer without a license, but then that all straightened out.
Now, I don't understand this either, because we were once part of Delaware County.
Yeah.
So how did Eber Baker and Holmes decide that we were going to be our own county?
I have no idea. But Holmes was all over the surveying all over the place. You know, there used to be a Holmes Liberty School in Crawford County, just north of Bucyrus a ways.
Well, we used to have an Eber Baker Middle School.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
What does Eber Baker have in this town now? We don't have a school
named
it.
Yeah.
No. We don't know where he's buried.
Did he leave any money to the city or
well, was
any
he rich?
Remembrance? I don't know.
Did he have any dough?
Beats me.
Was he a prominent person?
Is there any scholar out there that could dig into Eber Baker like they're in the past have tried to find the Holy Grail?
Well, I think we dig into Harding all the time, and we dig into Marilyn Meskey, and we dig into, Mary Ellen Withrow, and the well-known people, the guy who founded Marion. Nobody dug into him.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's because it was such a long time ago.
Isn't there a family tree? I'm sure he had some kids. Where are the Bakers now?
He had Elizabeth Ann.
And where'd she end up?
I don't know.
Didn't she have a child?
Yes.
So there's another generation right there.
That's right.
Well, maybe this is Eber Baker the 17th. We can only hope. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, on this with the counties.
Yep.
So in the very beginning, when they formed counties, did they form 88 counties? Or were there less counties in Ohio?
In that
interpretation... Was Marion a large county, and they took part of Marion County to make Delaware County when they established Delaware County, or vice versa? Because I doubt if they started with 88 counties.
Yeah, I don't think they did, and according to the paperwork I have in front of me from the Historical Society, Marion was taken from Delaware.
So, in other words...
Yeah, at some point, that's what I don't understand. Because
Marion
this,
could have been taken from...
Two or three counties.
Was at one time was a part of the land that formed Delaware County.
And also one time part of the land that was Franklin County.
So probably Marion County was a lot larger.
I think Morrow County also entered the picture.
After Marion or before?
During.
During. Well, who founded Morrow County?
Mr. Two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And on the another point, on the founding of a city or town, in all the old westerns you watch and everything of years ago, a person came to an area and he put an inn in, which usually sold alcohol. And once they had an inn or tavern, which were usually the same place, then people congregated there. And then as they congregated there, a city was formed, usually by the tavern and the inn owner, which would show you Eber Baker. And then the city was found, or the town, around that tavern, because there was a place to sleep, place to eat, and people stopped there and decided to stay.
That's how Waldo got it. It was formed by Wyatt's Tavern in Waldo.
But usually the guy that owned the inn had all the money because he was the only one there selling stuff. So then he used his money and brought in more businesses, sawmills and stuff like that. So it just happened that Eber Baker was there with the inn. It could have been anybody with that inn, and Marion probably would have been formed, but it would have been a different name and all this because of his contribution.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
And again, if anybody else has any theories on this, give us a call, 740-383-9944. We like to hear those theories, 740-383-9944. But I just, it's not so much is Marion founded in 1820 or 1822, or is Eber Baker still buried at Quarry Street? It's why can't we ever have anything just black and white, cut and dry?
Yeah, right.
Why is there always got to be some kind of mystery, confusion, mistake? Oh, Mike, do you know the answer to these questions?
I got one from...
Mike Wilson's going to stop. Now, get in front of a mic. Mike, this is radio. Oh, we want to hear you.
I got a face for radio.
Oh, are you running up here? Sound a little winded.
Bronchitis.
I've been on two
rounds of antibiotics, and it's about gone.
Mike Wilson, the host of the Mike Wilson Show, Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. here on WWGH Radio. Mike, do you know anything about this?
I wasn't listening last few minutes. What are you talking about right now?
Okay, was Marion founded in 1820 or 1820?
Yes.
Well, but see, why did we celebrate the sesquicentennial in 1972?
I don't know. I'm a Morrow County boy. But I did have an answer to one of your questions earlier, Charlie, about Bodley's.
Bodley's Bar and Barbecue, yes. Where was it?
Well, I had a great uncle that had Wilson's Clover Farm Store, which was on North Main Street, catty corner from Smith's Cardinal.
Okay.
It eventually became Smith's Cardinal. But I have a picture from the 30s or 40s, and you can see Bodley's was setting about where either Bird's Auto Sales or the root beer stand is right in that area.
Okay, yeah.
Now, it might have moved at some point, but in that picture,
that's
where they were.
Hmm.
I remember interviewing Bob Smith and him telling me about the lady who dropped a turkey out of her between her legs.
He told that to our family one year at Christmas, I remember.
Oh, the late Bob Smith. Good guy.
His wife was a wonderful person, my dad's cousin.
His daughter is a very nice lady. I run into her still quite a bit. Nice woman.
Linda?
Linda.
Yeah.
But tell me about Eber Baker. Is he buried in Quarry Street or the Marion Cemetery?
I know exactly where he's buried.
Now, see, okay, go ahead.
Underground.
In the ground.
In the ground.
Charlie saw that coming.
But where at?
I don't know.
But does anybody know the answers to these questions? Shouldn't we know?
The other question is, does anybody really care?
Oh, I bet those people, if Trevor Romine was still here, she'd be writing notes
over. Yeah.
She might have known the answer to that question, knowing Trella.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think what somebody would know. I guess the question is here, do you think they moved him? Do you think they spent all the time and effort to dig through the Quarry Street Cemetery and exhume his body and transfer him over to the Marion Cemetery?
Well, they supposedly transferred several of those bodies. I don't know. I don't know if he even had a marker, you know.
Now, why several? Why did they have to move them?
I don't know, Charlie. Do you know the answer to that? I can't remember. I remember they moved them at one time.
All I know is that Marion Cemetery was founded in 1857.
Okay, then what year did Eber Baker die? This would help. Now, somebody let us know. What year did Eber Baker die? Had to been before. If it's before 1857, then he never got transferred. That's my belief.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, so, that's right. You're right.
Yeah. So there you go. 7403839944.
And cholera came to Marion in 1851.
Was he dead before the cholera?
Who knows?
Well, we're going to find out now. We need to know.
I don't think he had cholera.
Do any of you scholars out there have a thought on this one? 7403839944. Because there's something strange about this whole thing. And why are we celebrating the town centennial, the county different than the city?
Hey, and wasn't Morrow County part of Marion County?
Part of Marion County was.
Yeah.
Didn't part of four or five different counties.
Right.
Became Morrow County in 1848.
Okay.
Now, Eber Baker died in 1864.
Now, wait a second. Oh. Okay. So the Marion Cemetery was already in operation when he died.
Yeah. They bought the land in 1857.
But we don't know when they were operational.
They might not cleared enough to bury anyone yet, but maybe they did.
Well, what year did the Quarry Street Cemetery close? They couldn't have been closed in 64.
I don't know. Is it still closed? Can you be buried there?
Well, that's a good question. If I want to be buried in somebody's backyard over on Quarry Street, can I get a plot?
Oh, so the cemetery's still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, for some reason I was thinking it had been moved, that they moved.
No.
Okay, that's not the cemetery I'm thinking of then.
This all started because over in Kirkpatrick, there's a cemetery that's abandoned when you go into Kirkpatrick.
The township trustees are supposed to be in charge of all those. And the landowner that has the cemetery on their land is supposed to, by law, provide access to that cemetery.
So who would be in charge of the Quarry Street Cemetery? Mayor Schertzer?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
So Mayor Schertzer's
in... City Council, the mayor?
Isn't it usually the township, so?
Well, yeah, for the ones outside the city, at least. It is the township trustees.
Did they run out of land on Quarry Street, or was it the cholera?
Well, there were a lot of people buried there, and they supposedly took the tombstones that are underneath Morbid Hill in Lincoln Park.
I don't know why it's such a mystery. That's my confusion.
Maybe
this will be the answer to the mystery. We can only hope. Go ahead.
Hello.
Oh, it's the Gambiera.
We've called
Gambier, Ohio again.
Oh, no.
Oh, gee whiz.
Maybe they're knows.
They're not giving up today, are they, Charlie?
No.
They called during your show, and now they've called during this show. But no, does any historian or anybody with just a good educated guess understand any of this? Do you think Eber Baker was moved? When did the Quarry Street Cemetery close? Can you still be buried there? When was Marion founded? Was it 1820 or 1822?
Yeah. I've got two large history books of Marion County, and today I'm going to look all through them.
And see if any of this shows up.
Right.
Okay. And if anybody has any guesses, we've got about 10 minutes left. 740-383-9944. But I don't know why everything's got to be a little cockamamie.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Yeah. In the same way, Morrow County has that piece sticking out. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
The toothpick in the square?
Yeah. Oh. Well, no, the that little addition to Morrow County or Marion County sticks into Morrow. Are they ever going to move the monument on the square? Is there some group that's always been opposed to that?
Well, I can see both sides to that. There are folks that want it moved. I can see it moved up to the courthouse, possibly, where people would have access to it.
Yeah.
My dad always said, and he drove a truck, he said, if you can't drive around that, you shouldn't be driving. So.
Oh, boy, you can see tire marks all over.
I know.
Oh, my.
And we just celebrated the 100th anniversary of that, the erection of that this earlier this year. as well.
There was that a big celebration?
It was a very big celebration. We reenacted. President Harding was actually a senator at the time. He came back to his home county to speak at the dedication, and we reenacted that a couple months ago.
That's right. You said something historically. President Harding is not from Marion County.
No, that's true. But see, do we want to shake that tree as well?
He spent more time in Marion County than Morrow County, but we had him first.
So what is really 1920 about then? I mean, it apparently wasn't our centennial. The guy wasn't even born here who was elected. What's the big deal then? Why do we say he's from Marion?
That's a good question.
Both of his parents were physicians, and they moved to Caledonia.
Yep.
Because they'd have more patients there than what they did over in Morrow
County. Why were they in Morrow County to begin with?
Good question.
He went to the college over there.
He did.
So they were young kids.
Ohio Central College in Iberia.
Ohio Central, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he actually went through Morrow County, and then he went through Caledonia. Then he came to Marion.
In his adult years, I believe.
Yeah.
So why do we say he's from Marion?
He won a prize with his orchestra with enough money garnered from that to buy the Marion Star.
I thought he took a loan and bought it at a police auction. See, here we go again. Did you know Norman Thomas was the first ice cream socialist?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
That's one of the big things. Blooming Grove, is that in Morrow County?
Yes,
no,
it is.
Well, there you go.
So why do we even care?
Just through the other day.
It's not far from Crawford County.
What's in Blooming Grove?
Nothing. Well, yes, there is. Here, there's a Seventh-day Adventist church. There's a United Methodist church. There's another church that converted into a house. And the rest of it's junk.
Well, there's a nice state marker there where his birthplace was.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, really? In the middle of all that junk?
There's no cabin there anymore.
No, it's long gone.
His real home is gone?
Oh, yeah.
So why is this the Harding home? Shouldn't we be building the museum over in Blooming Grove?
Not really.
And here, you know what? We've talked about this before, but okay, there were no microphones when he was campaigning.
Yes.
So how did he campaign off his porch? How did those people hear him?
If somebody next to you was talking, you couldn't hear Harding.
You would have never heard anything.
No.
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. This is Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice.
Hey.
And I wanted to, I don't know what the topic is or whatever, but I wanted to wish all of the WWGH listeners a big Happy New Year. I know it's the third, but what I want to mention is today is the anniversary of my viral video.
That's right, Ted. It was, what was it? How many years ago today?
January 4th, 10 years.
10 years ago today, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, was there. What street was it in Columbus, Ted?
71 in Hudson on the north end of Columbus by Cruz Stadium.
Oh, my goodness. And the Columbus Dispatch, Doral Chenoweth, got a video of you there. It went viral, and you, the next day, were doing the intro on the Today Show.
Isn't that something?
10 years ago today.
So what are you doing now, Ted?
Well, I'm doing a lot of great things, first and foremost. And I apologize if I just called in just on something that I wasn't able to keep a track of. But what I'm doing today is I have a new book out. It is somewhat of a part two, and I forget the title of it, but my manager, Scott Anthony, is working on the particulars. I also have a reality show called Second Chance with Ted Williams, and we have two networks we're shopping two networks that's very interested in it. We're just trying to get our percentages and whether they want to buy it and all of that kind of thing. I'm still doing voiceover work. I haven't done any imaging for any television stations or radio stations. WWGH is my home station. I call that my home station. You know, it's not one of my stations that I just appear on. I call it my home station because I'm always welcome home at WWGH. Marion's number one station, I have to say, when it comes to great talk radio.
Well, Ted, my goodness, a decade ago, Charlie and I, we all remember when this, we were on the air talking about this. Ted was found there. And with that great voice. Ted, what have you learned in this decade? What has been the high and what's the low?
Well, you know, I lost my mom after not seeing her for over 15 or 16 years, physically touching her and hugging her and kissing her and looking in her eyes. But I lost her, and that was one of the down points of this whole thing, because I didn't get a chance for her to really, really see what was going on. But she did manage to live long enough. And I want to tell all your listeners, your mom might detach from you. She may be pissed off at you. But one thing you can rest assured, that your mother is praying for you, or your grandmother is praying for you, or your sister or your auntie, whomever is in your life immediately. Know one thing, that there's power in prayer. And that's what helped me through all of this. My mother continued to pray for me. So I did learn that. Number two, I learned to be grateful for little blessings and not always expect big things to come from the Lord above, in which the faith of a mustard seed does move mountains. I did also learn that don't trust everybody. Don't put all your trust in man's hands. And I'm not saying have that certain discernment or judge somebody because they look a little shady or they speak a little. I'm talking about just don't put all your eggs in one basket. I, on the other hand, have learned through that experience of bad management, people taking money from me, taking advantage of a person who hasn't thoroughly investigated something, and they're more, you take it upon yourself to feel more that they're so excited about things, and they're distracted from what the primary focus should be, like whether it's a relationship or other contractual agreements and money. You know, a lot of people are into this just for the greed part of it. You know, I make money. Money doesn't make me, those kind of things. And most importantly, I learned the purpose. Having friends. What's a friend and what's an associate and what's a... just somebody you meet in an encounter, you know. I learned the true meaning of friendship. And Scott Spears, you have truly, you and the rest of your staff have truly been friends, and for that I'm very grateful.
Well, we appreciate that. Ted, Ted, I have a question for you. If you were writing that sign today that you had on the side of the road, what would you be writing on it today, 10 years later, a decade later?
I love you, Scott. You dig up some good questions. let's see, what would I write on that sign? You know what? I wouldn't change a word. To be honest with you, I wouldn't change anything. The only thing I probably would say on it is keep me in your prayers.
Ted,
that's probably the post note of it.
Ted, real quick, give us what you said on that viral video 10 years ago today that made you a national star. What'd you say to that, to Doral, as he was driving by?
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Oldies B97 or Oldies 106.3.
and it was off and running from there for a decade. Ted, thank you so much for calling in on this great anniversary.
All right, my friend. I love you very much. And all of you, the panel and everybody, remember, keep me in your prayers.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ted.
All right, bye-bye.
See, this is why you never know what's going to happen on WWGH Radio.
Yeah.
10 years to the day.
10 years.
January 3rd, 2010, wow. The Golden... And we were on the air at that time, you, me, and Marianne Michaels, talking about... And Fritz the Night Owl, I remember.
Yes.
Just popped in my head. Well, there's an interesting subject to wrap up today's show. How about this 10 years with Ted? Who would have thought, Charlie, he'd sit in on shows with us and be at Christmas parties and...
Yeah, he's done well with his... self.
And got himself cleaned up and did very well. Mike, you remember that, I'm sure.
No, I don't. I wasn't part of the station just yet. And
no, but you remember the national news
and being on Dr.
Phil and all that. What do you think of this man being found in Columbus and the next day he was on the Today Show?
I think it's amazing, and goes to show you there is hope for all of us.
There is hope. And there is hope one day that we will find out when Marion was founded, where Eber Baker is buried, why we claim President Harding from here, the whole bit. Well, for Charlie, for Mike, and for me, we're done for the, and for Ted, the Golden Voice. Thanks for calling in. That wasn't planned, but that was fun.
That's good.
Yep, we're going to wrap up today, and guess what? More programming right around the corner, and much more programming always to come right here on WWGH Radio.
Not just in the housing market. I'm talking about globally. Our United States government is spending more money.